Hey, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you here on this Sunday. We welcome you to sing along with us and to hopefully learn more about God through a song and, of course, a sermon and everything else. Let's get started with a song called This I Know. Shake somebody's hand. Welcome here next to you.
Good morning. I love the sound of good morning. Good morning. Yes, that is beautiful. Welcome to Glasgow Evangelical Church. We welcome you. We thank you for your smile. We thank you for your smiles and welcoming someone else here this morning, because that is the most important thing, that we all feel welcome in God's house. And so I hope you feel welcome. If someone did not welcome you during worship, come talk to Seth. He will make you feel welcome. Give him a hug.
Or I'll just yell at everybody, one or the other. Okay. I'm just joking. Hey, If you open up your bulletin, right on the left-hand side, the very first thing you'll see is what's going on today. Hey, we have a baptism going on today, and yesterday I was setting up these chairs around tables because we're going to go eat dinner after the baptism at Richard's cabin, which we'll talk about in just a second. And I call him up and I just say, "Hey, Richard, what can I help you with? Is there anything you need to do?" And he just says, "Hey, I need benches moved from my little boathouse up to the cabin." And so I got into the boathouse, and there's these really super nice benches, right? Like Trex, made amazingly. And then I lifted one up, and they're heavier than I am, right? And so I'm like, I am not carrying these benches. That's so really, heavy. Out of laziness, I went to go look for other benches. Not really, but I found these benches that can like sit six people on them, and they're green, and so I just took them up to the cabin. And later on, Richard comes to me this morning, and he says, "I was so mad at you." And I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "You chose to grab out the horrible benches, like the benches that just are like they're old, they're painted weird." And then he said, and then I started to cry. And I was like, "Yeah, God did something to him," right? No, he said he started to cry because one of the things was he said, "My dad made those benches." And so if you know anything about Arnold Weens, the one story that I know about Arnold Weens that I love is because I live by Shopko, he went to buy himself a Razor scooter one day, right? He's 78 years old, buys himself this Razor scooter, and he's literally going to, he lives up in Valley View, and he's going to ride this scooter around because they took his driver's license away. And so he's like, "How else am I going to get around town?" And so somebody calls Richard and says, "Hey, your dad bought a Razor scooter. You need to stop him." And so they go up, and Richard's like, "Dad, what were you going to do with this scooter anyway?" And this is what he said. He said, "I needed to get around faster to let people know about Jesus." And if you drive in this sign that comes into town, it says Jesus saves. That's Arnold's sign. And so it's just kind of fitting that, here's the deal, we're going to sit on Arnold's benches, the guy who says, "Hey, Jesus saves, the only one that's worth it," and we're going to celebrate people's baptism. And so if that hasn't tugged on your heartstrings enough to go to the baptism, there is something wrong with you, okay? So here's the deal. At 4:30, if you want to, you can show up at the church. Terry's going to take a whole bunch of people to the dredge cut number one is where we're going to baptize people. And then right after baptism, which starts at 5, we're going to head up to Richard's and have just a great dinner together. We're just asking you guys to bring a side salad, and we've got all the meat and drinks and everything covered. And so here's the deal. Baptism is a huge point in people saying, "No, I'm not only just going to," you're going to find out this later in my sermon, "I'm not only going to just like it, I'm absolutely loving my relationship with God, and I'm taking the step for all of you to see that this is serious for me." And so that's something we should be celebrating. And I told Richard 100, so that means we need 150 people to show up. So that's a good thing. So please put that on your calendar for 5:00. We're meeting down at the Dredge Cuts. If you don't know where Dredge Cut number one is, just come to the church at 4:30 and Terry will lead you out there. All right? Everybody shake their heads. Okay. Now, if you're going to come, raise your hands. Awesome. Great. Perfect. And if you didn't raise your hands, think about it. I'll be praying for you during sharing prayer.
I have one announcement that has to do with Guatemala. We haven't talked about it much, but the youth group is going to Guatemala again on November 19th through the 27th. And this year we're doing a different fundraiser than we've done before. We're selling popcorn. We're only going to do it for the next 2 weeks. If you got one of these forms this morning, put it in the air. Put it in the air, come on. Okay, so lots of forms right down here in the front. This is kind of the youth group section, unofficial youth group section. But yeah, please just talk to someone if you'd like to help out. This program gives us 50%, which is a really good rake when you're doing projects like this. And so we're excited. There's two of them you can't order because it's too hot and they'll melt. But they sound really good.
Don't I'm not going to tell you what.
Paint it milk chocolate.
Yeah, okay.
And peanut butter chocolate time. You can't order those. Those are the ones you can't have. And so imagine the ones that you can have and how good and delicious those sound. And by having amazing popcorn, you can help people get to Guatemala. And so thank you in advance for helping support. If you don't like popcorn, you can also just write them a check. That's fine.
Then 100% goes.
100%
goes. Absolutely. Hey, is Terry in here? I know she's super busy today. So here's the deal. We just have one announcement for her. With fall stuff kicking off, we are looking for volunteers to be able to say, hey, I want to be a part of Awana. Awana is our outreach to the community where we just say, hey, guys, come send your kids on Wednesday nights. We'll love on them, teach them the Bible, and they'll go away having the word hidden in their heart. And so if you would like to be a part of that, would you just please go and talk to Terry? Just say, hey, I want to help help kids experience the love of Christ. And so please do that. If you can't do that and Sundays are your only days, hey, we still have your ability to be able to be a part of Children's Church and other facets of that ministry. And so please be thinking about how you can help Terry out as well as Brian. And so junior high is the best grade to deal with because...
Who told you that?
Me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love them because if they're making fun of you, you know they still like you. Yeah. All right. So are there any other announcements this morning that you guys have for us? We have one right here.
Julie Lawson here. Fall is my very favorite time of the year. Mostly because of the wonderful colors that we have and the cooler temperatures, hopefully, but also because Bible study starts in full swing again. On Tuesday night, we meet from 7 to 8:30, and starting September 12th, we're going to do David Platt's teaching on a survey of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then how to study your Bible. That will go for 9 weeks. He has excellent handouts that you can take with you for your personal Bible study at home. But sometimes I think we can study books of the Bible and topical studies in the Bible, but we don't really study the overview of the Bible, what the whole message is from Genesis to Revelation. So I'm excited to go through that with you. There is no homework. So that's another reason to come and join us on Tuesday night. And then about mid-November, we will start the study of the book of Romans. So let me know if you'd like to come to the David Platt study so I can copy materials for you. Thanks.
Hi, my name's DJ Sergent. As most of you may know, I had surgery almost 2 weeks ago. Everything went well. I came home Saturday, so thank you all for the prayers.
Awesome. Thanks, DJ. Every week we get the opportunity to come as a church family and pray and join together with one heart. And so Brian has a really cool story that happened this week that you can just be thinking about, just not thinking about. You should be praying for this just as they're down there. And so, Brian, you want to share with us?
Yeah, the way I want to start the story actually is last week we closed with Tony and I up here discussing and talking about helping out in Jordan. And it was one of many ways that you could step out and help in the body of Christ. And so I want to make sure that there was no confusion that was the only way that you could help. I feel that, you know, maybe there could have been confusion because that's how we closed the sermon, but we were just allowing one way. And so through the encouragement and a lot of people being excited here, the picture that you see up there is six people from Ohio, Stepping Out Missions, the group that we team up with for Guatemala and some other things. They actually have two trailers right there full of hay and six guys and $7,000 worth of fencing equipment that came all the way from Ohio, and they showed up yesterday to help out our teams that are going to be there. They're going down today to start putting together fences, and it's really, I just want to praise that it's amazing what the body of Christ can do. Glasgow, Montana, reaching all the way to Ohio to allow people to step out and just be the body of Christ. And so that was mine, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Be praying for them as they just start that process of going about doing fences, fixing other things. We know that the other day some more fire started, and so we just need to be continually praying for what's going on down there and how we can help other people. Man, Tony has been just connecting with so many other ranchers and farmers down there to help them with the loss they had of just some of their territories and getting cows back in and all that sort of stuff. So just be praying that these guys also get to continually share the message with people who they're working with as well, that God would give them the opportunity to do that. And so, yeah, be praying for that. Are there any other prayer requests that you guys have for us?
Just to let you know, we also had some of the farmers in Hinsdale, not the little trucks, the great big trucks. They had a couple of them that headed out in that direction also. And so when a guy loads up a truck, there's a lot of money going out there. So actually, I was very impressed by them going out and doing that. And I don't even think they go to any special church. So anyways, my prayer request is for Don, who's in the Congo. He is not doing well. His wife is not doing well. And they're waiting to get the passport so they can, from some other country, I guess they have to go through, to be able to come back to the U.S. And his wife comes from the Soviet Union, so she has to go back to the Soviet Union to get medical treatment. And so their finances and everything else, they need a lot of prayer. Because in the Congo, where they are at with the pygmies, there is not a whole lot of nice food. And there's no McDonald's and there's no Walmart. And so you're eating with the local people. And if you've ever been on a missionary trip, sometimes you wonder what you eat. So you pray and you eat. Awesome. Amen.
Hurricane Harvey hit Texas last night. This morning we were checking the news to see, because there's a lot of Texans up here who I'm sure are concerned about friends and relatives down there. It was a 5 at one point. It downgraded to a 4. And I'm not sure it's any higher than a tropical storm, but it's hard to trust the news these days.
Absolutely, we'll be praying for that.
I'm Donna Pankratz, and I'm asking for prayer for Cheyenne Paiu. She's having surgery tomorrow, and one of her concerns is that her veins are very small, and when they stick her with a needle, she doesn't want to feel the pain.
Okay, absolutely. Right here, yellow.
Hi, Merrick Subscom here. I just want to pray for all of Montana, mostly, because we haven't been getting very much rain, and I'm just hoping that we can get some more rain here. Thank you.
All right, would you guys pray with me? God, you are beyond description. Seems silly sometimes to stand up here and try to put to words of how great you are. You are the maker of universes. You are the person who holds, not person, you are the God that holds everything together. We find our breath and we find our being and our life in you. And God, would you just help us to realize that this morning, that as we come to worship, it's to worship you. It's not just have a checklist and check something off this week, Lord, but that we would meet with you, that we would know your Holy Spirit is here, and that we would communicate and worship you. And God, as we do that, Lord, there are things that we are worried about, and let us be able to set those aside. God, with the fires that are going around us and just the rain that we haven't gotten. Lord, we know that you are still in control, and we can trust in you and we can hope in you. And God, we thank you for the reach your gospel has across states, across countries, into the Congo, and we see you working in all of those. And God, we thank you for the people that answer the call, like in Ohio, who just come up and just want to serve. And we thank you for Don and his family who have been serving in the Congo, Lord, and they've had it a bit rough. And so, God, I'd pray that you would help smooth some situations out for them. Help them to get to where they're going, Lord. They need some help from you financially, and just some things to be moved so it's easy. And God, for Cheyenne, Lord, I would just pray that as she's about to go into this surgery, Lord, that God, they would be able to find her veins easy. And Lord, that she would know that you've got everything under control and that you're watching over her. Because our lives are yours. And in you, we are truly alive. And God, we can worship you in that, and we can give our lives towards that. And God, as a church, we want to be able to reach out to our community and love them and show them you. God, I just thank you even for all the people who are stepping up to be baptized today, Lord. I pray that they would realize that you've just been moving their hearts and that they get to praise you in that, that they are identifying with your death and resurrection. God, today as we give our offerings, Lord, I just pray that it would be out of a cheerful heart that we give to you. That God, we would realize that it was all yours in the first place. And Lord, as a church, would we know where you're headed so that we can follow and use those resources to that end. That we would be disciples making disciples. Lord, let us worship you this morning. In your holy name we pray, amen. I'll invite the ushers to come forward and the worship team will lead us in a song. Last.
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
I said, we maybe don't have the perfect words to describe God, but doing our best with that great hymn. Why don't you stand and join us with worship this morning and sing about overcoming fear.
Before
Us to meet here today, because we know so many places in the world there's just no place to meet where you're safe, and we thank you for the safety you provided, realizing that we will not have that all the time, at least physically. But we know if we follow your son, if we allow him to take that step and make it a bridge for us, that he died for our sins, that our souls in eternity are safe. And we thank you for that gift that you sent that we'll never be able to repay or even figure out. Pray for the message today, God. You will speak to each of our hearts. The baptism coming up this evening. And for those who aren't here with us today, again, that they take your message through the world, just in the way they live. And let them, we know you've got those works ahead of us, let them and us be your tools to help people point to your grace. Thank you for worshiping with us. Please sit down.
Hey, if you are kindergarten through third grade, you can head on out of here. And if you're with me, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. So we have a lot to get through today, so I'm just going to jump right on into it. This morning's sermon is actually called Like It, Love It, and I Gotta Have It. Is the gospel worth giving up everything for? We've been looking in the past few weeks about just what does the gospel ask us to do? Not what is the gospel in terms of, hey, the gospel is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He forgave us our sins. He was buried and rose again 3 days later and has power over sin. But no, what is it actually asking us to do? And so we are in the second week in our book, our book of Mark, and last week I kind of told you that Mark is kind of a guy that just goes really quickly, tells you how it is and what's going on, and so we actually find in Mark chapter 9, he really doesn't really mince words either. He just goes straight into, hey, if you're going to follow Christ, this is what he's requiring of you, this is what he's asking of you, and these are the words of Christ, and so we're going to dive right into it. Mark 9, 42 through 50, if you don't have your Bible with me, they'll be on the side screen, and it says this, but if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter eternal life with only one hand than go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter eternal life with only one foot than be thrown into hell with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. For everyone will be tested with fire. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how can you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourself and live in peace with each other. Man, a crazy interesting verse in terms of, oh my goodness, this is what it takes. He is throwing no punches in here. And as I was reading it this morning, or not this morning because I didn't prepare my sermon this morning, as I was just reading it through the week, some things really stuck out to me about what Christ is actually calling us to do because, I don't see too many of you one-armed. Actually, probably most of us would be no-armed, right? Like, the way we sin, but I think he's got some really interesting thoughts in terms of this is how you're going to follow me. But before that, let's pray. God, these are not words to take lightly. These are not words which we get to say, oh, that just doesn't pertain to me. Because God, every word that is from your mouth is for us. This is a guide for us, and it directs us, and it tells us where to go. And Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, I would pray that you would open up our hearts, that God, for each and every one of us, wherever we're at with you, that you would speak to us, that you would guide us to just the next step in our relationship with you. And for each and every one of us in the room, it's different, Lord. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Spirit in us to guide and direct. And so, God, would your Holy Spirit counsel us this morning? Would you teach us? In your holy name I pray. Amen. So there's this store that you can go to that I happen to really like. I don't get to go there often because it's a bit expensive for me. But it's a place called Cold Stone Creamery. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's like, mm-hmm. If you've never been to Cold Stone Creamery before, you walk into this place, and at this counter are more, it's got to be more than 31 flavors, right? And so you are looking at all this ice cream, and man, some is like deep blue, and some looks, it looks like cotton candy, and then there's the serious people who like the chocolate, then for those of you who really love ice cream, it's vanilla, right? I mean, you definitely love ice cream. And so you go there, and then behind everything is all these flavors, right? So, like, you are overloaded with what stuff you can put in your ice cream. They sit there, and you ask them for, I don't know, Snickers in there. They got Snickers. If you ask for Oreos, they've got Oreos. If you ask for nuts, they've got nuts. Anything. Hot fudge, caramel, anything you ask for, they've got. Literally anything that you would think would be good on ice cream, they have it. Okay, if you like Tabasco sauce, that's not the place for you. So anyway, then you order it. And they look at you like, what size would you like? And so, of course, I want all of it. But I look up, and on their sign is this. The small kind is, I like it. Right? So you tell them, I just like it tonight. Right? And so they give you the small cup. And then the next cup, you get to look at them, and you go, I love it tonight. Right? And then they'll get you the medium size, the love it size. And then they go for the I gotta have it size, right? Now, do you know the difference between the sizes? This small is 75 cents cheaper, right, than this large one, which is really hilarious because guess what? You should always go for the I gotta have it, right? It's 75 cents, okay? You'll pay that in membership fees to the gym later. But anyway, so I started thinking about Cold Stone Creamery and the idea of even Cold Stone Creamery knows that love it isn't good enough. I mean, we say things like this all the time. We say, I love God. I also really love tacos, right? It doesn't even compare. I love my wife, and I really love to hunt. Right? You notice the difference? Love and really love? I'm just joking. But we use this phrase all the time, love. And most of the time I think it's more like, I just like it. You see, there's these people in the Garden of Eden named Adam and Eve. And God says, here's the deal. This is your Cold Stone Creamery. You can eat from everything you want to eat off any tree except for two. Talk about that later. But you can eat anything, and I've got it all covered for you. Because God says, I love you, I will do this for you. So one day they're walking around, and what happens? Eve doesn't love it anymore. Actually, not really even love. She just doesn't like it. It's not good enough for her. It's not enough for her. And so what does she do? She decides to eat off the fruit that God has asked, please don't eat from this fruit. And then sin enters into the world. For the first time, what happens is we start to realize the possibility of good and evil. Because in our lives, constantly we say, I just don't like it anymore. And so then we try to do all of this stuff that we want to do. And here is one key thing. I need you to understand what I'm talking about sin. When I say sin today is this, is that sin is anything that misses the mark of what God is asking. Man, God has a whole entire book for us that says, here's the deal. I want you to strive for this. You aren't like who I created you to be. You're sinful. And so we find this whole entire story. If you've been reading in the foundation book with us, you've been watching this whole entire thing where people start to realize, wait a second, I'm wrong. I'll come back and I'll love God, okay? I'll try to love God better. And then we go right back to our sin. And then God does something else to bring us back into a right relationship with Him. And then we're like, yeah, I love it right now. And then we sin and we fall back away, and then God comes up with something again to bring us back, and then we are brought back, and man, we're in this great spot. But for a while, it couldn't be enough, right? And so Jesus comes along on the scene. And this is where salvation hits the whole entire thing, right? This is the gospel message. That the problem is that when we ate that fruit, now sin has power over us. Sin rules in our hearts. We would rather do the sinful way than actually do the godly way. And so Jesus comes along, who is our salvation, who has the ability to get rid of all sin's power in our life. I'm going to say that again. He has the ability to get rid of all sin's power in our life. And I'm going to go into it a little bit later, but I want you to get that idea is Jesus now gives us the ability to live in him and not be ruled by sin anymore. And so in terms of this, in terms of seeing Jesus in our lives and sin and salvation and us being able to have a free and better life, not having to do anything. We read this scripture in our meditation that literally made us realize that it was nothing that we could do. God gives us the knowledge, we accept it, but God is the one that gives us the grace, and then we just kind of really do nothing, and he's like, here you go, walk in the Spirit. And so today I think that in terms of the gospel and in terms of sometimes looking at this, we get stuck with God, I think, in the like it phase a lot. I don't think we ever really go to the position of going, no, I love it today. I'm all in. Because I think we get confused on what the difference between that is. And so as I look at this piece of scripture, it's incredible that God, that Jesus is saying, if you're going to do this, if you guys are going to follow me, if you're going to take this seriously, this is how serious it is. If you got sin, cut off your arm, or cut off your hand, actually. Cut off your foot, gouge out your eye. If you're that serious about sin in your life, then this is what you need to do. Because sin, Jesus is saying, is always leading us astray from God. And so when he's going through this discourse, I think part of me goes, okay, well, great, that's awesome. Cut off your hand. Well, once again, like I said, there are none of you that have cut off your hand because of sin in your life. But Jesus is saying this is how important it is, because sin is going to destroy you and take you away from the eternal rewards. And so as we look at this, I just want to go through kind of three movements that I think in this piece of scripture that we get to look at that goes, this is what the gospel is doing in the life of a Christian. This is what the gospel is doing in somebody who has said, yes, Jesus, I just don't want to be this anyway anymore. So, man, help me like it, love it, and gotta have it, Lord. The problem is every one of you are in that situation. Some of you right now are just in the like it phase. Some of you right now are like, yeah, okay, I kind of like this church thing. It's good. Man, I get saved. That's awesome. Some of you are in this love it phase where you're just like, okay, man, I've loved seeing what's going on and what's happening, but now you've got to put in the work to be able to go, no, I got to have it. No matter what's going on in my life, I will do whatever it takes to be with Jesus and let him guide my life. I mean, I could have, just as I was thinking about it this week, I could have just said, well, a lot of you say you love Jesus, but you don't, and in your like it phase. No, I really do believe that each and every one of us are in one of those phases at some point. Each one of us has to look at our heart and go, okay, God, what do I need to do? Because God, I'm not even on the like it right now. I really don't like you. Certainly not going to love you. So how do we go to the next step? And this is where I think these steps encourage us to live. And so if you're taking notes with me, if you're still following with me, I have to ask you one question. Is the gospel worth giving up everything for? And my answer is yes, and here's how we're going to find it out, okay? If you're still taking notes, the first one is this. The gospel of Christ calls us to get rid of sin. The gospel of Christ calls us to get rid of sin. Here's the deal. I'm just going to let you know that this is our responsibility. Okay, we're going to go into a little bit more about the power of sin like I was talking about before. But if we have sin in our lives and we know it's sin and God has told us this, hey, we are called to get rid of sin in our lives. This is our responsibility. Here's the deal. Discipline without desire is drudgery. Okay? If you don't have the desire to get rid of sin, man, we're not going to do it. It is going to be something that is so hard, and we are just going to go, this Christ thing, man, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to do it. It's not drudgery because we want to do it. But here's the kicker. It is dependent upon the Holy Spirit, not willpower. The way that you get rid of sin in your life is through the Holy Spirit, not by you saying, well, I just need to get rid of this sin in my life. Romans 8:13 says this, you got it perfect. For if you live by its dictates, by sin, by what sin dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. I'm just going to tell you that there is a difference between not even on the board, not even in Cold Stone Creamery, to I like it, I love it, and I got to have it. Okay? It may look like 75 cents to us, but man, it's a lot. Because the difference between not living and living is huge. I mean, this week I just even talked to certain people and just asked them, hey, how are you doing with your relationship with God? That's the number one question I've decided to ask people. Not how are you doing, but how are you doing with your relationship with God? And I'm shocked by how many people go, man, this God guy, he helps me in absolutely everything I'm doing. If I'm following him and I desire him. Because here's the deal. He's taking care of our sin as we come out with it and we say, God, I need your Holy Spirit to live. And so would you please help me put to death my sin? In fact, another way you can look at it is this. Another author says, it's Jerry Bridges, and he says this, maybe you should take it to a look of mortification of sin, which means actually, literally, not just kind of juggling it, but actually, literally, putting it to death in your life. It's not showing up again. It's not coming around. I'm not going to dance around it anymore. No, I am going to put it to death. It means that we subdue and deprive sin of its powers. And that comes from gratitude and joy of knowing that however miserable I have failed, God's grace is greater than my sin. It doesn't mean that if sin pops back up again, it doesn't mean that we are just, man, I just don't get it. No, it means that we get to try one more time to put it to death because God's grace in our lives is greater than our sins. Another way of looking at it, Paul even says it in Colossians 3:5-17. He says, sorry, I probably don't have that up for you right away. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Better put this way is this, instead of maybe always focusing on your sin and what you're doing, what if you started focusing on Christ to put to death the sins in your life? What if you would say, no, the things of Christ are so much more important to me, all those things that were spoken in Colossians 3, 5 through 17. What if we focused on those and started going, no, I need to be tenderhearted. Brian said it a couple weeks ago. He said, man, if you want a great piece of scripture, look at 1 Corinthians 13. Just even start doing that. And are you patient? Are you kind? But I think the way that we start to get rid of sin is that we actually look to Christ first and foremost. We do not get rid of sin out of guilt. We get rid of sin out of our love for God and having the knowledge that our sin is a rebellion against God himself. Which then leads us right into our next point, if you're still taking notes with me, is this. Is that the gospel of Christ allows us to get rid of sin through a union with Christ. If we put to death the sin in us, we really begin to live. Or be alive. I have a question. I want you to imagine something, okay? I want you to imagine the first time, if you're married, the first time you saw the one you're married to, okay? Just think about that. Think about that time, what you were willing to do to talk to that person. Or for some of you, like my wife, what you were willing to do to get rid of that person, right? I'm just joking. My wife loves me. Anyway, we'll keep going. Anyway, I think about that moment and I think about what were you willing to do for that person? Because what happens is we start to actually fall in love with them and we start figuring out, hey, I could do this marriage thing. I can get to know them. Some of you in this room were maybe only dating for 3 months and you got married right away. Some of you, if you're Maury Graham, you just call up the lady on the phone and say, hey, let's get married, right? If there's other of you in this room, maybe you dated when you started in sixth grade and then you're just like, well, we might as well get married. I mean, all the gamut of these things. What would happen when you got married to that person and you basically filled out the marriage license and then you stopped having communication with them? How great of a marriage do you think you would have? If you said, hey, I love you, let's get married, and never again did you talk to them or the occasional, hey, I need some money, so hey, would you just give me some money and we'll see you in about a couple months. Or what if you never spent the time to get to know them more? What would your marriage look like today? I mean, it's incredible for us to think that way and go, wait a second, of course you'd put your time into marriage. Of course you'd put your time into getting to know the other person because you've said we want to have a life together. We want to maybe have a family. Some of us, we maybe don't want kids. I mean, all these things that are involved in a marriage. See, what that is that's what we would call a legal union, right? It's just on paper. You just get the benefits. Which I think about in terms of Christ is there are two unions that we have with Christ. And the first one is really just the legal union. Okay, so if you're still taking notes with me, write that one down. That legal union, what that is as you say yes to Christ, he says, I got this. I'll take care of sin for you. It does not hold sway over you anymore. If you accept me, God is not going to look down on you and say, no, Jesus' blood didn't cover you. No, that's what a legal union is with Christ, is if we say yes to him, he's saying, hey, I've got sin taken care of. There's some of us that have a really hard time with that, right? Because there's some of us who have been Christians our whole entire lives, and then we see that one person who has literally probably lived the worst life that we know, and seconds before their deathbed, they accept Christ, and all of a sudden, the Bible says, yep, no, they're, God loves them. Right? Like, that is what God does. That's what Jesus' death on the cross does for us. It does not allow sin to have any power over us anymore. We are not separated from God any longer. The legal union with Jesus allows us to have access to God and what he wants and what he desires for us to live in him. Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you that those of you who have done that and who have accepted Christ and haven't taken the next step, you're in the like it phase. You just like Jesus for what he's doing for you. Man, I'm so glad I'm saved. Huh? Well, better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Right? Like that is what you're essentially doing with Jesus. You're saying, hey, I'm okay with you dying on the cross so that sin doesn't have any power over me. Thanks a lot. I like it, buddy. Good job. That is not the full idea of what it means to be in union with God, because there's a second union that we have, and it's called the vital and spiritual union with God. It is the spot where we go from the like it to love it and to eventually I gotta have it. It means that we are going to the spot of going, no, Jesus, I want to be controlled by you. Every move I'm making, Lord, I want to ask you what's going on in my life. How can I love others through this? How can I know what you're doing for me? Even in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of what's going on, maybe health issues are you're struggling with in your family. Maybe things are just not going your way. Relationships with your spouse, your kids, just your work just doesn't seem to be happening. And God is sitting there going, but wait a second, there's more. I'm not just here for the, hey, I like you, do things for me. I'm here to actually help you deal with these things that are going on. I'm here to help you have a different perspective. I'm here to help you be a vital spiritual person. He's saying that he wants to be in absolutely everything in our lives. That's why it's worth cutting off a hand so that we can be in relationship with him. Because if we're so distracted, we can't have that union with him. Romans 6, 1 through 11 says this. Sorry, I'm making you bounce around there. Well then, so here's the kicker. We know that there's a legal union. And we know that there is the vital spiritual union with God. And we know we have grace because God has gifted us with that through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:11 says this, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ, when we're joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death. Isn't that great? We're actually being baptized just like Christ today, coming out of the water in newness of life. We've joined him. We are being with him. We are unifying with him. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So here's the union. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves will be crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for we died with Christ and we are set free from the power of sin. We're set free from the power of sin because of Jesus Christ. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Man, what a beautiful verse. Because of our legal union with God and our spiritual union with God, literally, sin doesn't have power over us. And so when we're dealing with sin in our lives, the first thing we do is go, ah, I need to be united with Christ. Christ, would you tell me what's going on? Would you help me figure out how to get rid of this? So in this part, I have a question for you. What are you doing about your convictions in your life? Because I know God is speaking to every single one of you. God is asking you to, hey, maybe you need to look at this in your life. Hey, how are you doing in this area? Because here's the deal. If you're not doing anything about your convictions, eventually you will get used to ignoring the Holy Spirit in your life. And you're going to go right back to the like it phase. We're going to just go right back to, Jesus is just all right with me. I'll just let him cover my sins, but not really be vital and alive in him. Because here really what this is the act of sanctification for us. Becoming more and more like Christ as we are getting rid of sin in our lives. And I would love to tell you about a whole bunch of sins and just kind of give you spots of, hey, maybe you should be doing this or maybe you should be doing that. Here's the problem, is I don't want to be changed. I don't want to be changed by church. I want to be changed by God. I don't want to be changed by church just by, well, this is what my church tells me not to do, or this is, no. As you are walking with God day in and day out, I'd rather have you be changed by him. Do you have friends that are going to encourage you in that? Do you have a spouse who's praying for you and really going, hey, maybe you should think about it this way? Are you spending time with God so his Holy Spirit is saying, hey, let's move on? That's what we get with our union in Christ. Not only are we to believe we have died to sin, we are also to believe that we are alive for God, united with Christ and doers of his will. When we rely on this truth, we will experience the power of the Holy Spirit to put sin to death in our lives, and it no longer has power over us. There's this book called The Disciplines of Grace, and he quotes this Scottish pastor, and I'm going to butcher his name, but Horatius Bonner. He writes this, and this was so phenomenal. I loved what he said, and so this is what it means to have union with God. It is forgiveness that sets a man working for God. He does not work in order to be forgiven, but because he has been forgiven. And the consciousness of his sin being pardoned makes him long more for its entire removal than ever he did before. An unforgiven man cannot work. He doesn't have the will for it, nor the power, nor the liberty. He is in chains. A forgiven man is the true worker, the true lawkeeper. He can, he will, and he must work for God. He has come into contact with that part of God's character which warms his cold heart. Forgiving love constrains him. He cannot but work for him. He's removed his sin from him as far as the east is from the west. Forgiveness has made him a free man and given him a new and most loving master. Forgiveness received freely from God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ acts as a spring, an impulse, a stimulus of divine potency. It is more irresistible than law or terror or threat. And what he's saying is if you would understand your forgiveness and the unity that you have in Jesus Christ, man, you've got to have it. You got to want to him more and more. And then it moves us to the next part. If you're still taking notes with me, and we're almost done, if you're still taking notes with me, and some of you are like, man, he's only halfway through, this will be quick. The gospel of Christ shows us the mission in our lives to be alive in him. The gospel of Christ shows us the mission in our lives to be alive in him. As we go about looking at these things, about getting rid of sin in our lives, it frees us up to be alive in Christ. And so we're going to go right back to the very beginning where we started in Mark chapter 9, when he's saying, take off, when he's saying, cut off your hands. Because when our hands are freed, we desire to labor for the gospel. And when our feet are untied, we desire to step out for the gospel. And when our eyes are unblinded, we will see all our interactions in the light of the gospel. I think that's what he's getting at here, is the fact that if you have sin in your life, it's going to keep you from doing the things that God has created you to do. Because when Eve ate the fruit, she lost the ability to, and when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they lost the ability to really realize what God was doing in their lives. They lost the ability to be in the abundance of Christ, in the abundance of the garden. They now had to work for everything. And they're blinded, they're tied up, and they're bound. But when we look at sin seriously in our lives, we can then be set free from those. And then he finishes in Mark 9 with this incredible, once again, you are the salt of the earth. It's kind of funny that he starts out at the very beginning saying, if you cause somebody to stumble, you're in grave danger. This is all about realizing what the gospel is, about taking somebody through the process of seeing what God is doing in their lives. And if you cause somebody to stumble, he says, here's what you have to be worried about. Then he says, if these are the things that are causing you, if you have sin, get rid of them so that at the very end, you can be the salt of the earth. So here it is. This is the reality, right in this whole entire piece of scripture, that heaven and hell are real, that Christ is returning. And are you living as if you just like it or love it and gotta have it? Are you willing to stare at the wonder of the gospel and look at yourself to make changes? Or just like the idea of the gospel? Each and every one of you are probably in some sort of phase. You're at the counter ready to order. I just wonder if you're going to go for it. Are you going to study God? Are you going to know him, and are you going to choose to make him famous? And so, man, maybe you need to do some work this week on asking the Holy Spirit, God, what sort of sins am I dealing with that I need to take care of, that I need to get rid of, so that I can have union with you and that I could do the mission that you're calling me to do? Let's pray. God, would you help us to stare at the wonder of who you are this week? Would you help us to move beyond some sort of legal union that we might have with you into the vital, spiritual, growing Christian that you've called us to be? God, I want my life to be saying, I gotta have more of you. And sometimes, God, I think I'm just okay with the like it. And God, would you help us to go big or go home with you? Because you're calling us into an amazing relationship with you that we just don't understand. That's beyond our imagine. But God, we have to do work in our heart. And so Lord, would you just help us with the responsibility of looking at ourselves and our own sin. And start with one sin in our lives, Lord, and just keep the ball rolling. Would you wreck us for you so that we could love other people and love them well? That there would be no barriers. That God, we would step up and that we would be the people you're calling us to be. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Help us to accept you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for sticking with me. Have a great Sunday. Love you.